Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host, and I'm very excited to introduce a new friend, somebody I'm just getting to know, and what a dynamo she is. Megan Humer, thank you so much for being with me.
Thanks for having me, Sharon.
Well, Megan is, she looks a lot younger than the experience she has. She has spent, I think, 19 years in your bio, it said, becoming the master of the customer journey. So many people work so hard to get customers, they don't pay attention to holding on to them, to retaining them. And so I talk about every successful business solves a problem or serves a need. And this is a huge opportunity for you to understand and to learn from Megan, because you want to nurture your clients and because the lifetime value of your customer is exponentially infinite if you take care of them. I talk about you either sell or you serve. When you sell, it's a transaction, one-time thing. If you serve them, you get a multiple lifetime of sales. And Megan is the expert in how to do that. Thank you so much, Megan, for being with me.
Thank you. I'm excited to dive in. I know it's going to be a great conversation.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but I like to start with all my guests. I want you to talk a little bit about little Megan and how you got to this niche of expertise.
Yes, little Megan grew up in an educator's household, and that's really where it got started. My mom was a career educator. She was a high school teacher most of her career. We are from a very small town in rural North Carolina, had about 2,000 people in it when I grew up there. My parents still live in the house I grew up in. My mom was also an elementary school principal for a little while, and then she went back to the high school classroom. I went to college for business, got a business degree, exited college, moved home like a lot of college students do. That was in 2004, and I had no clue what I wanted to do. I could not put my finger on what industry I wanted to be in. I didn't quite know what I was passionate about enough to make that my career. And that summer, after I graduated, I remember my mom had a conversation with me. I got a job as a manager in training at a restaurant, and I cried every day on my drive in, and I cried every day on my drive back home. And after 3 weeks, my mom looked at me and she said, "I think you need to write your letter of resignation. And I think you would be an amazing teacher. How about we get you into school and you go get your master's degree in education?" And I said, "I don't know what else to do." So I trusted my mom. She saw something in me. And so I went and got a master's degree in education. And while I was doing that, I got a job at the high school I graduated from. And where the story gets really good is I taught the same subject that my mom taught, and our classrooms were right beside each other. My mom was a very decorated teacher. She has a lot of degrees. She got Teacher of the Year many times. And my mom was my mentor my first year teaching. And she was an extraordinary mentor for me in the classroom. I always like to pick on her and tell her that she mentored me so well, I ended up being even better than she was in the classroom. It's just like a family joke that we have. And I learned, you know, I obviously went to school for education as well, but I really learned when you're in a classroom with teenagers, I had 14 to 18 year olds all in the same class, every grade level, every cognitive ability, every emotion and personality and background and history, all in one class at the same time. And you have to discover very, very quickly the psychological state, the emotional state, the cognitive ability, what triggers somebody. Like, you've got to figure that out very, very fast. I would say within a matter of seconds. And I would pay attention to my students walking down the hallway to try to pick up on cues so that I could best lead them, teach them, mentor them, and facilitate. And that's really, really where I learned how to do what I do now with adults. And what I have found is adults really aren't that different from kids, right? Maybe we talk to them slightly differently, but that is how I got into what I'm doing. I really do attribute a lot of my success and know-how to my mom and her example as a classroom teacher.
I love that. So when you are working towards, and so you eventually grew into the position and the expertise that you're doing now, but along the way, I love the fact that you talk about, because you really do, you have to kind of tune into an individual's personality and where they are and what they want. So talk a little bit about that transition from education into the corporate environment.
Yes. So I was in the classroom for 5 years in the physical face-to-face classroom, and also taught online. I crafted courses for North Carolina Virtual Public Schools. And I exited that career when we had our daughter 14 years ago, and started coaching adults. And I was doing a lot of general business coaching at first. And one of my mentors was a very successful coach, and I onboarded with her as an apprentice. This was in 2013, to help her develop a very large scale coaching and certification program. And at the end of that process, she had a launch and close to 250 people joined that program. And she said, well, I can't run this on my own. I need help. And she offered me a position, which took me about 6 months to say yes to. And that was the first time where I became the director of client success for a large scale coaching company. So this is back in 2013. And again, you know, I still very much come from the perspective of voice of the customer. And like you said at the beginning of this conversation, many leaders and business owners were very fixated on acquiring the customer. And in a lot of companies, there is either not someone on the team, or there may be someone that isn't really given a seat at the table to be the voice of the customer. And so much of my perspective on the client experience side is, you know, a lot of my focus is with coaching and education companies. And I think it's really important, even though we are working with adults, the adults still have learning disabilities. Adults still have preferred learning processes. They still have learning styles that are different and unique. And I think the other thing that we're dealing with adults that you don't deal with as much with kids, it just looks a little different. Adults have so many more responsibilities. A lot of them have a spouse, they're running a household, they have children, and then there's lots of issues going on in that world for them. They have a lot of other financial responsibilities. Then we look at anything that could be going on in the world at any certain time. So there are a number of added layers of anxiety and stress, and just a lot of things tugging and pulling at adults. And so sometimes when we're running our programs, you know, we just have like this kind of one track mind. And it's like, well, you're an adult, you bought the program, you're expected to come in and do what you're supposed to do. You need to hold yourself accountable and go out there and do the work and get the result. And we're not really taking into consideration the psychological side of the client. And I'm not suggesting we need to go hold the hand and coddle an adult, but there are things that we certainly want to put into place so that the adult does feel seen, heard, and understood. Because from an emotional and psychological perspective, if you can help an adult feel seen, heard, and understood, really every step of the way, and you can do this at scale, they are going to build a lifelong trust with you. They're going to build a lifelong bond with you, your brand, your team, your company, and they're going to want to stay and bring a lot of people with them. So there's a lot of similarities. We're just transferring it to the adult person who does have a pile of other responsibilities and stress and anxiety on top of their shoulders that maybe a child didn't have.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of people now have online courses. We have quite a few. And, the stats are in that people buy a course and very few, very small percentage actually finish it. Some may higher percentage start, but they drop off very quickly because of all the noise in their life that you described, all the various responsibilities. And so, in our programs, we have like a quarterly Q&A check-in, and somebody might actually get an email from me saying, I saw you got started in the program, but we haven't seen you in a while. So this kind of surprises mm-hmm. them. But I think it's important that nurturing is so important and making people know that you didn't just take their money and run. So what do you see as the biggest mistake that companies make?
That's a really good question. I'm gonna talk about one of the first mistakes that I think people make. Something that I am pretty obsessed with is onboarding. It's that moment from, and really onboarding, there's more of a pre-onboarding that starts with the moment the sale is made. So we could kind of say, well, onboarding is really kicking off as soon as that credit card is swiped. Whether it's happening, I'm sitting here at my computer or my mobile phone and I swipe my credit card, I put my credit card details in, the sale is made. Or oftentimes, if the price point's a little higher, someone is talking to a salesperson, right? So it could happen in a conversation. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that we're making is how we're viewing the person the moment the sale is made and the first impression. And so what I think we really have to understand is that the prospect, before they have paid any money, they have built a certain kind of relationship with you as a business owner and as a business and as a brand. As soon as they pay money, in their head, they may not say this out loud, a lot of this is happening in their mind. In their mind, that relationship is, it's not necessarily starting over, but they are developing a brand new relationship with you now as a paying customer. And it's not that they all of a sudden lost trust in you. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to be really critical of the experience. It's not like all of a sudden they're going to judge you, like they never talked to you before and you just took their money. But there is something that does happen in the mind of the new client where they do start looking at you a bit differently than they did now that they have paid you. And I do a lot of third-party interviews for other people's, for my clients' clients, which is incredible because I get to get into the heads of your clients and I get to see why are they attracted to buying the program in the first place? What is actually keeping them in the program or the service or continuing to use the product? And sometimes what attracted them is not the same as what their expectation is as soon as they join. And so everybody is coming into our programs and buying what we have to offer for slightly different reasons. And so that onboarding process is incredibly important. When I talk about onboarding, I like for people to understand, look at onboarding like an entire process with a beginning, a middle, and an end. It isn't just a moment. Unless you have an app, you've got about 90 seconds to onboard someone. But if we're talking about a service, a coaching program, an education program, it just depends. An onboarding process could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, depending on what your service is. But that really is the first impression that the client is going to have of you and your brand and your company as a working relationship where there's a financial exchange. And it is really our job. And again, I know we're all working with adults, but our adult clients are not going to lead themselves through our process. They're not going to, just try to figure it out on their own. We've got to lead them through that process. So based on the starting point of where our client is at when they enter into our program or into our world as a paying customer, what current knowledge do they have? What current skills do they have? What current abilities do they have? Resources, and how do we need to equip them with the knowledge and skills and resources that they need to actually take the action that really gets them, honestly, to their first somewhat significant success milestone? Because if our onboarding process can help them get to the first significant success milestone, there's no timeline on what that is, it just depends, then they are so much more likely to be set up for success ongoing and be able to take the next step and the next step. If a client can actually visually see they're improving and making progress, they don't have to go make $10 million in a week, but if they can visually see progress and improvement, they're so much more locked into the process. And it's, I believe it's our job as leaders and facilitators to make sure we're guiding them through it, or they're going to fall off. But if we can catch them in that onboarding process, that really makes the biggest difference, because I'll stop sharing with this one statistic. Our clients are making a decision to stay or go anywhere between day zero and 100. So we don't have a whole lot of time for people to really make up their mind on if they're going to stick around for a long time or exit as soon as they can.
I love that. And I think, you know, once you've, if you've gotten them to that successful milestone, it's a big hurdle to get them there. But at the same time, what you actually turn them into some of your greatest marketing machines, right? Because they've had a good experience. They feel they know, like, and trust you, and they feel valued by you. I think that's a big word for me, is you want your customers to feel valued by you, right? And
yes.
So then they become the viral marketing machine and help you exponentially grow your business, right?
Yes, that's right. I call it the invisible marketing machine. You know, they're going to go out and sing your praises to their friends. They're going to post about, you know, now with social media, it's so easy. If they're having a great time, it's not uncommon for people to take a selfie of themselves attending your Q&A call or your training call. Then they tag you, and then their audience is seeing all these beautiful, happy, satisfied faces. They're saying great things. And now you have all these people starting to follow you. And all you had to do is take really great care of your client in order for that to happen.
So Megan, how can people find you? Because it sounds like you've got the experience to help them really put their business on steroids.
Yeah. So if you are a podcast listener, obviously you are, if you're listening to this, I have a podcast called Built to Last. I talk a lot about client success. So we're just expanding over there on this conversation that we've had. So that's a really great go-to place just to get a lot of value. And all of my contact information is there. I frequently am on LinkedIn and Facebook mostly. I'm very accessible over there with a quick DM. And then my website is meganjohnsonhuber.com.
I love that. So tell me what you see for the future for Megan.
Oh, the future for Megan, Sharon. Well, I know you asked me earlier when we had our first meeting if I had written a book yet. So you really encouraged me to think more seriously about that. So thank you for that. So I think future Megan has maybe a couple of books in her future on a couple of different topics. So I appreciate you for planting that seed for me.
Absolutely. And it should probably, you should take your brand Built to Last on your podcast and use that as a branding for your books as well. So
there you go.
Thing that I do. So I love that. I think that's fantastic. So somebody who knows that they've kind of missed the boat and they've, you know, they haven't had a high enough customer retention, what's the first step you have them take?
Oh, great question. The first step I would have them take is start collecting feedback from your clients. So one of the first steps I take when I am invited into a company is to look at and evaluate the previous customer feedback that had been collected. I'll be really honest, very rarely do I see a company that has actually collected client feedback. And again, as someone who very much cares a lot about what the customer has to say. I mean, we're talking about the customer's experience. And oftentimes as leaders, it's very easy as leaders and creators to come up with ideas in a vacuum inside of our own minds. And oftentimes we're doing that from a place, like from a emotionally attached place, or what we think people want, or what we think worked for us, but it doesn't necessarily translate. So I would say the first thing is we've got to start collecting feedback from our clients and let it be okay to ask people for real, honest feedback. We want to hear what they loved. And we also want to hear, hey, you know, what do you think we should stop doing? What do you think we should do less of? What suggestions do you have? So I would collect feedback because it really does give you a more honest picture, and clients also appreciate it. They appreciate giving their feedback. It is something that they actually see as valuable because it shows that you care about what they have to say. And they also do have, we'll share this too, if we're going to ask for feedback, there is an expectation that if you ask me for feedback, you're going to do something with it. You're going to do something about it. That being said, you cannot implement every single thing that every single client suggests because some of it does not make sense for what you are doing over there. So I would say if retention is low, that is your go-to place, number one place, collect feedback from your clients.
I love that. Well, I've often for years talked about the bell curve. So you may have 20% of the market adore you, love you, 20% not your customer, not your ideal client, 60% may not know you yet. And I go, what happens? So many people focus all their energy and effort on the 20% of the people that don't like them. And they kind of ignore their biggest marketing tool, the 20% of the people who love them. And that's the group that can turn the rest of the 60% into paying customers for them. And so it kind of, I think, consistent with what you say, pay attention to your existing customers, nurture them, keep them happy, and they can become marketing machines. As you said,
absolutely.
Invisible marketing machine.
Invisible marketing machine. Yeah.
I love that. Well, you're going to hang out for a moment. We're going to do another shorter interview for the inside the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement. So we're going to get a little more personal, but I really appreciate your thoughts and your guidance. And I think everybody watching and listening to this is going to pay a little more attention to nurturing their existing clients. So thank you so much, Megan, for being with me.
Thank you.
And for all of you watching and listening, thank you for paying attention to this Play Big Movement podcast. You've made the commitment to play a bigger game, live your legacy, create maximum impact. So I'm excited to have you be part of this, and I look forward to seeing you on the other side. And if you're not a member of the private Facebook group, please join, and you'll get all kinds of additional insights. So have a great day. You are fabulous. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.